You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Good evening, hello and welcome to a new episode of the Voices of the Vic podcast. We are back, the international break is over, thank God, and people think we're actually going to win the Euros, but hey-ho, let's not get into that. We're here, we're talking about domestic football returning, bit of a stinker for Watford this Easter. We've got Leeds United visiting the Vic on Friday, and then we a trip to the West Midlands on Monday to face West Bromwich Albion. But we are here to talk about the Leeds United game. And for those of you that watch regularly, you will recognise my guest from tonight. It's Adam from the Gone Off on a Tangent podcast, who's also a Leeds United fan. Adam, how's things, mate? It's been pretty good since we last spoke for you guys, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's been really good. Thank you for having me back on. Pleasure to be here. Please ignore my decor. This is our podcast studio. As you can see, the masking tape holding the soundproofing up. And for those who don't know, we do a weekly show. Isn't a Leeds podcast at all. A little bit Leeds gets mentioned, but it's mainly beer and nonsense and chat. So, and sport, obviously. So go check us
all
out.
All the links are in the description, by the way. I've sorted you out there.
But yeah, no, it's been very interesting because I look back at when I did the show last time, and we'd just come out of that period of unsure what it was going to look like. And then barring three or four poor results, it's been really good, naturally. I mean, since the turn of the year, it's been incredible. Absolutely incredible. The run we're on now is just... I just didn't see it come. I suppose I'd say didn't see it coming, but I didn't see us getting 17 points back on Leicester. No. I mean, that, you know what I mean? Who saw that? I mean, it's only Reading that have done it before, that amount of points. So... In my wildest dreams, I didn't see that coming. So, yeah, it's been incredible.
It is mad. And since we last spoke, September we played, 23rd, if I remember correctly, you've only lost five games since we last played. And it was actually, that game was Daniel Farker's first home win was against us. Because you started the season, you only won two of your first seven league games. I know you beat Salford in the cup, and I think you might have beaten Shrewsbury as well.
We drew with Salford, went to penalties.
There you go, yeah. But you didn't start well. So, I mean, what is the thoughts on Daniel Farker at the moment? I mean, we would have spoke about it in the reverse fixture, but I suppose it would have been quite early on to try and tell, and you maybe would have been going into that game with a bit of optimism. But considering the fact is you've only lost five games since the 23rd of September, it's pretty good going, and you've made up that big point gap. So he must be bordering on maybe a statue outside Hill Road at this rate.
He's got a tough act to follow in Bielsa, but his football is very different. It's a lot slower, a lot more controlled. I can completely see how he's got Norwich out of this division twice. Both once getting past us and the second time, both relatively easy, actually, if you look at the stats and the numbers. And where he's been really impressive is he's just been calm the whole way through. Mm. Like, as fans, we get upset at defeats and draws and or drop some points there. And he's just been all season, don't look at the table, 6 games to go, we'll look at it. Up until then, we need 2 points a game. The old adage of win your home games, draw your away, or whatever it looks like. And he's just been serene. He's been impressive. I mean, the football itself, as you'll see on Friday, very possession-based. We like to control the ball. But I heard a stat this morning that we've got the most goals in transition and we create the most in transition. So we're not that adverse, especially away from home, to sitting in a little bit, trying to control it and then hitting you on the break from corners or from whatever. So it's good. What's interesting is when we obviously last spoke on here, August was quite a difficult month. We didn't have our ducks in a row and the style hadn't really taken hold. And then our result against you was really impressive. Like, we played really well that day. And that sort of almost kickstarted it. And then, like you say, a few poor defeats on the road that were probably avoidable. But then it's the championship, isn't it?
Yeah. I'm not just saying this because, obviously, you know, hopefully loads of Leeds fans will watch this and you're here. But every time someone says on a podcast, like, who have you been the most impressed with? Even now, I say Leeds are by far the best team we've faced in the championship this season. Like Leicester for me, and I don't want to, you know, go off on one here, but Leicester for me didn't look that great. I mean, they've obviously got the quality, which is the reason that they are where they are in the league, and they're able to bring on players that only other teams wish they could bring on. So that's the only reason that they're doing so well. But footballing-wise, I don't think they're all that. Ipswich, a lot of fans here will say, you know, we really, really took the game to them at Vicarage Road. We've still got to play them away, so it'll be interesting to see what happens. But
very impressive at home.
Well, yeah, that is my worry. But we're all right away from home, which I'll be mentioning in a bit, actually.
Hopefully good news for us, because you're playing. Yeah. They're rolling on the crest of a wave from League One, but yeah. I've been very impressed with them. They just don't care. They just go for you. And following it with my watch beeping with goals and stuff going in when I'm trying to ignore it, and it's impossible to ignore if you've already played. And yeah. They always score. So you think, oh, they're losing 1-0. The WhatsApp group go men's. And then you just know they're going to score. Mm. And then they put 6 by someone the other week, and Chef Wednesday, in fact. And they're always going to score. So it's whether or not their luck runs out with it, because they've conceded a lot of goals, but they score a hell of a lot on all. So really... it's really good way of playing football.
Yeah, absolutely. And I echo what you said, to be honest. I thought they might sort of, it might have been a bit of a purple patch, albeit quite a long one, but I thought, you know, it'll run out for them, but fair play to them, they've kept it up. But yeah, I mean, going back to what I was saying, you know, I think Leeds have been the most impressive, completely played us off the park that day in September. And it was a horrible watch. And I was driving down to Bristol for a wedding, and I got the all clear from the missus, and she was like, right, we'll get down early. I've asked the Airbnb if we can check in early. Got down to watch a game early, especially, and we're going to get absolutely humped like that. So yeah, not great memories. But talking of sort of form, if you look at the home form, you're top of the table. You've got 49 points from a possible 19 games. However, and this is where it will be interesting to get your view, Adam, because I know you've got an away season ticket. Away from home, you're fourth, where you've picked up 33 points from a possible 19. Now, for a bit of context, Watford aren't that far behind. We've picked up 27 points from 19 on the road. So what's the difference? What are you doing at home that you're not away, and vice versa?
Well, like you say, our home form is incredibly impressive now. And if we can see that all the way through, that'll hopefully, well, I don't know with this league this year, but hopefully carry us through. But away from home, it's been really interesting to watch, not always in a good way. But like most recently, we had a really good run. We were trying to go for 10 in a row, and then we drew at Huddersfield and they went down to 10 men. Made it really hard for us. Couldn't get over the line. You felt if we played for another 20 minutes, we'd have got the winner. Quite frustrating. In previous games, Sunderland away comes to mind. It was a midweek game, and they just frustrated us. And it was so slow back to. We just couldn't get into the final third. A couple of off nights as well from the front four, any number of the front four that are quite impressive. But it was just really slow. and quite not tepid, but you needed to move the ball a lot quicker. And then it was the same at Preston. We just sort of let them play their game. And then we were in a losing by ones. It was always corners or something silly or a thunder bastard from somewhere and it just catches you out and just haven't quite got enough. But since the turn of the year, other than that Huddersfield game, we do look better away from home. We are moving a little bit quicker. We've got Hull visiting on Monday, and I was chatting to a really good friend of mine earlier about the game, and he's really nervous about Friday, as am I, our game. But the one on Monday, he's less nervous about because we think Hull are going to come and attack. Yeah. So really, it depends. I think I said this last time. It depends what you plan to do on Friday. If you want to make it expansive, happy days. We'll go toe for toe. We'll try and keep the ball. If you make it. So we went to West Brom at Christmas, two defeats in a row, went to West Brom at Christmas, and they just held us and just went, go on then, go on, pass through us, go on you go. And it was side to side and side to side, and they just scored a couple of good goals, and that was it, all she wrote.
Yeah, this is where it's difficult for Watford fans to try and gauge, because obviously we've only had one game under Cleves, and Cleves coming from youth football to senior football, it's hard. We haven't got that sort of previous job where we can be like, well, at this club he played like this and here he played like this. You might be able to play one way in youth football, but as soon as you come up, it's a completely different sort of ball game, if you like, and it's difficult. One thing which I did notice against Birmingham, by the way, the worst game of football I've witnessed far. Two absolutely terrible teams. And I was just talking a minute ago saying our Leeds are by far the best team that we've played. Birmingham, by the way, going down as the worst team I've seen in a long time.
We lost them at the start of the season when we're trying to get our stuff together, last minute penalty.
Yeah, I remember that. But yeah, it was two horrendous teams, but we got the win, which is glad. You know, we could probably do with one more win and we can breathe a bit easier because our running is absolutely honking. But I don't know how we're going to play, but one thing I did notice is under Ishmael, it was, right, we're going forward. There's not a way through. Let's go back to the goalkeeper and pass slowly between the centre-backs and try and build up. It was all right to start with, but it got boring and the fans were booing. I remember, who was it we played? We played Leicester, I think, and a couple of our other guys that are on the podcast were the season ticket holders and go regularly. And they said after sort of 20 minutes, the fans were booing and it was toxic because they don't want to see this slow sort of build up football. And we don't have the players to do it. I mean, Wesley Hoot's fantastic. And other than the suspension in which he's currently serving, the Leeds game is his last game for that serving suspension as well, which will be good news for Leeds fans. We don't have the players to do it. So one thing I did see against Birmingham, we sort of cut that crap out and we were looking to get direct as quick as we could. And I think the good thing as well is we have got players that can hit on the break. But I was a bit hesitant to mention this because I don't know if I've got it right, but is it only two goals you've conceded this calendar year from open play?
Three, but none from open play.
So the fact that we might have these players that are quite explosive on the counter and that, it sounds like, really, we'd have to catch you on an off day to be able to even hit you on the counter.
That's been the story since the turn of the year, not conceding many. Of clearly, and just scoring in bundles or where we can, and they've also got a lot better. A lot of the front four, because it's quite a young squad, so it's a really young squad. We've got a young side when it starts. They miss quite a few chances, but they don't seem to let it get to them. They just carry on and keep going. I mean, we're quite slow, so similar style of football, and the different. What we're clearly trying to do is bring you out. So if we're trying to, I think they call it setting traps and nonsense, but. We're trying to go back side to side and bring you in. And then the pass completion percentages from the two midfielders, if they both play, Gruev and Kamara, are both upper 90s, like 93, 95. So we don't lose the ball very often, whether it's centre-halves or midfield. We don't lose the ball. And then with what we've got out wide and through the middle, obviously Rutter's touch and go for Friday. I don't think he plays, if I'm honest. He may come on as a sub, but he doesn't play. So we're going to massively miss him Friday. but it's a case of building a base and then trying to bring you out and then pop it off into the midfield and go from there and then burst through. But it can be quite slow. The difference, I suppose, now, to answer your earlier question, is between now and the start of the season is they've played this style of football all season now, and you can see they're a lot more comfortable with it. They know what works. Don't panic. Just keep playing your football. It'll come. Plymouth was a bit like that. The thing for us is if we score first, at the minute, we don't lose. So if we score first, that clear has to bring you out, which is massive for us. And we can just keep the ball, let you chase shadows a little bit. I noticed that your goal against Birmingham came from Emmanuel Dennis pressing down. So if there's a bit of that going on, hopefully that creates a bit of space. It's going to be a very interesting match, I'll be honest with you. I'm really nervous about it, really nervous.
That's quite mad to think. I mean, Shane in the comments here says Leeds will win the game. I think that sort of speaks for a lot of Watford fans, their sort of thoughts going into it. And I know we're obviously at home, but away from home, that win against Birmingham, that was the first time all season that we've led at half-time away from home.
Just incredible stats you can pull up in
here. I believe we've only led twice at half-time at home, against QPR, where we were 4-0 up on the first game of the season, and then against Rotherham. So we really don't... If you score the first goal, then, I mean, I'd like to be a little bit optimistic now that we've got Cleves. He gets the club. He understands. He'll want to sort of make Vicarage Road a bit of a fortress again, because our home record, I mean, in recent years, when, you know, football's not been great for Watford fans in the last few years, we got relegated after an FA Cup final, then went up in lockdown and was horrendous and come back down, and then we've not been back up since. So, but all in all, you know, in lockdown, I think we equaled Preston's defensive record, and the home record was phenomenal. And, you know, we've had some real good times at home. We beat Man United, Liverpool, Tottenham, Chelsea, Arsenal. I think the only team we've not beaten is Man City. So we've had some real good moments at home, but this season it's been so toxic. And I do worry that if you boys are passing it about with ease and get an early goal, I do worry what sort of state the Vicarage Road sort of stadium will be in. I mean, to be honest, I can't imagine many will be there anyway, because there's there's all this noise around the owners at the moment, and I mean, I won't go into it because it's.
I heard Troy Deeney talk about it on Talk Sport this morning. It was quite an interesting.
Do you know what? Funny you say that. Just before you joined, I got sent the clip, and I was just listening to it. So, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of noise about the owners at the moment. Look, they've done great things for us, but ultimately, the football's moved on, and they've sort of stayed where they are. So. It's not been good, and we don't want to go down the road that Reading are going down, albeit it sounds like they've found a new owner now, which is good. But I do worry, and something else which worries me as well is, you know, I was talking about you sitting top of the chart for home wins. Meslier is top of the charts for clean sheets. He's got 18 clean sheets in 36 games.
Some of the numbers are incredible. Genuinely.
What have you done with your defence to make it so impressive?
Change the personnel. That's the first thing he's done. Because, like, rats leaving a sinking ship. A lot of them left last year, or we binned them off. So we've been a bit light at fullback all season. But Sam Barham's coming on a free after lots of injury problems, and up until the turn of the year when he got a couple of injuries, has done really well at left back. Junior Firpo, who's his worst, he's horrific. At his best, he gets assists. He's a weird footballer, but really good going forward. Ex-Barca and Betis, I think, from memory. But he might not be there Friday because he's travelling back from international duty. But he's quite shaky at the back. But Rodon has been there, been a stalwart all season. It was very noticeable that he didn't play against Southampton after a suspension. And we got beat quite heavily and quite comfortably down there. He's a big, big plus. Just played 120 minutes for Wales last night, which isn't ideal, but it is what it is. Pascal Strauch is now out for the season. He's had surgery this week, and he's been struggling with something. So since the turn of the year, it's been Ampadu has dropped from midfield into centre-half, who's a ball-playing centre-half. He's a midfielder, I think, where he wants to be, but he's played a lot of centre-half, and he's just fantastic. And they've got a brilliant understanding. Rodon's a bit of a machine. And then right back, we've had Although we signed a right back in Jan, and he has played some minutes, but he has contributed. Again, he got injured for Wales last night, which again isn't ideal. We've had young Archie Gray there most of the year, so he's just turned 18, who's not a right back, and sometimes he can get taken by decent wingers, but nine times out of ten he does it. I think his first game actually right back was against you. Come to think of it. Because it was needs must in the situation. I'm pretty sure it was against you. And he's got so many minutes. He's a really good footballer. And it allows him to go into the middle. If we're moving the shape around, it allows him to drift into the middle and pick the ball up from there. He'll get round the winger. He's a good player. But it's just been, they've got a really good understanding. Like every good back four you'll ever watch, they've just got a really good way about them. They're relaxed, they're calm, they're all good on the ball. And Rodon's a leader. And Ampadu's a leader, who's captain at the minute, so he's their leaders. But I'll give you the reason why I'm nervous for Friday.
Yeah, please do.
I'm a Leeds fan, so I'm naturally pessimistic. We've not really got a full strength side coming to you on Friday. Okay. We are horrendous at Easter in general. For some reason, we're just not very good at Easter, and there's a couple of ghosts, if any Leeds fans are watching, there's a couple of ghosts of Easter past. That one I'm not mentioning here, just don't want to spook anybody. And then it's that weird feeling of when it is going so well and we look so good and we're in a really good position. It's just, you're a football fan. You're just waiting to get slapped across the chops.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I'll go into it with a lot of confidence, but I'm just naturally nervous, I think.
Yeah. And I mean, you rattling off about your defence then does worry me, because scoring goals at home is... You know, we went through a bit of a dry spell. I mean, Emmanuel Dennis seems to have maybe picked up a little bit of form where he left off, but he's clearly unfit. He's not fitting often. He was clearly brought in to sort of get the fans excited, and Ismail didn't want him. We had the chance to re-sign him in the summer, but he said no. So why has he done it now? And, you know, all of this. But, I mean... You mentioned there a couple of things. A couple of them played for Wales last night. I'm hoping the hangover of the bad result will sort of...
You really want extra time there, mate, if I'm honest. I was flicking between Wales and England. I was flicking back and forth, mainly on injury watch, if I'm honest. And then, Conor Roberts pulled up with a knee injury, went off, which was it's a shame, because he when he comes on, he's really impactful. And then, Rodon both played all the games. So, and Dan James came on with, I think, about 20 minutes to go, something like that. And obviously
missed the penalty. Yeah, so I'm hoping his head will still be sort of thinking about that when he comes to Vicarage Road on Friday. But we know what you mean. One of our best players at the moment, and not that you'll remember him from our game, but we played him at left-back when he come on against Leeds. But it's Georgie Chakvetadze, and he played 103 minutes for Georgia the other night. And obviously they qualified for their first ever European championship.
Did, yeah.
I'm hoping he doesn't come back too hungover, because he's been a real joy to watch the last few games. But yeah, it does worry me. And you mentioned Archie Gray there. I was listening to another Watford podcast earlier, and they had a Leeds fan on. I can't remember who it was now, but he was talking about, and I'll be interested to see if your views are the same, but he was talking about how Blues fans got laughed at for retiring Bellingham's shirt. And he says that he can see, if Archie Gray really knuckles down, he can see Archie Gray sort of heading in that same direction, and he could be a real legend at the club. Obviously, he's got links. His dad and his uncle played for Leeds, if I remember.
Yeah, he's the third or fourth Gray. I think it's three. So his dad, Andy, his great uncle, Eddie, and Frankie, who played in the European, I think played in the European Cup final 75. So, yeah, and he's got a brother as well. Who's a striker in the youth divisions. He's also very good as well, apparently, I'm led to believe. Very, very talented boy. He was talking about the other day, actually, in an interview, saying he can't wait to pull the white shirt on with him. So it'd be interesting. But we've had a lot of good youth players come through, especially over the more recent times. But he is on course to be a hell of a player. Hell of a player.
That's interesting to know. One of those youth players wasn't Sam Dolby, was it? We bought him up, and we thought he was going to be we thought it was going to be the next Messiah. And to be fair, he's ripping it up for Wrexham now. Although I'm not sure he gets many minutes with some of the players they've got. But
you know what it's like, though. They either come through local lads and that sort of stuff, or you pick them up from all over the place. I think from memory, Sam Dobb was one we picked up from somewhere, as was Pascal Stroik, who's out injured at the minute. We picked him up from the continent, and you pick him up, and some of it was the same. We picked him up for like £1 million from a Dutch side. So it always feels different when they come through, doesn't it? Like, obviously, Eddie Gray is obviously clearly a legend at Leeds, and obviously Frankie played for us and Andy, etc. But it just feels very different when they feel like they're one of your own. Mm. I mean, let's be honest, he's probably going to go to Man City at some point, so they don't get too attached. They're not falling in love with loan players, isn't it? Like, I keep seeing Rodon linked with Newcastle, and it's just, no, he plays for us. We're signing him in the summer regardless. Leave us alone.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I mean, we've got Ryan Andrews at the moment, who he represents England at under-20s, although he didn't play in the last camp because I think we withdrew him because of an injury. So he's hit and miss, I think, for Friday, but he's been one that's, you know, it's good to see. Since the Pozzos took over, Watford used to be that club that would bring academy players through, and it would be really good to see. But since the Pozzos come in, that sort of died down, but the recent years we've sort of seen players come through, so it's good to have. But just obviously looking ahead to Friday now, I think I know what your answer is going to be, and it's certainly one that sticks out in my mind because I was there and it was horrible. Do you have any memories of this fixture specifically at Vicarage Road?
Yeah, so the day we sport the party, which we talked about last time,
fucking which horrible.
The Droidini moment. So, all Watford fans watching, you're welcome. Ross McCormack maybe that moment. So that one brings about, well, we had nothing to play for, obviously, and we just came to try and stop winning automatics. And there's nothing a Leeds fan likes more than spoiling a party and being the villain of the piece. So that was fun. I've been to Vicarage Road probably 8 times, I think. Most of them have been fairly unmemorable, if I'm honest. Mm. Either you've been in a spell of looking really good. Obviously, we had a long spell in the Championship where we were very rubbish. 15th. So there's not. It's one of those. Do you know what I mean? And I think we played. Did we play you in lockdown? I can't remember.
No, because we would have missed each other. I think you were in the press. And then, we swapped. So I remember a game where you talk about you sort of mellowed in mid-table. For a long period of time. And I remember a game, I had a season ticket, and I think it was around 2013, 2014. We won 3-0, and you had Jack Butland in goal.
That's right in the middle of that shit show where we just couldn't get anything going before the takeover and Bielsa and everything else, the rest of history. But we had only that memory, really, if I'm honest.
It was a horrible day for us.
Not a Vicarage Road, but clearly the playoff final. That still reverberates around my brain. If I can't sleep, I'll have a think about that. Like, it always be better, can't it? Horrendous day. I've been a lot to Vicarage Road, but as I say, most of it's been. I don't remember many Premier League games between us. We didn't play in League One, did we? From memory, so most of it would be middling Championship, or you were the better side, and you'd come down from the Prem, better team than us, and just swept us to a side. It's one of them things.
Yeah.
Changed a lot, hasn't it? Changed a lot as a ground. I remember last time I visited, it's changed a lot.
So yeah, was that the last time you visited? That one where you scored the party?
No.
Did you come in the 2019... the 20...
Oh, it was the... I was in the end. Yeah, of course. When
you played Brentford not long after and secured safety.
Yeah, because we left Vicarage Road thinking we've done enough now, or there or thereabouts. We're about where we need to be, and it wasn't nowhere near enough. So, I remember that, because it was, I can't remember his name. So rubbish for names. It was the Spanish striker that scored. At least I'll be shouting at me now. I can't remember his name. He's gone now, plays the guitar. But, he scored. We had a good day, actually. Yeah, because you were pretty much already relegated, weren't you?
Yeah, pretty much. At that point, we were absolutely gone, and... That was one of the games, actually, where, because you boys were struggling as well, we thought, right, if we're somehow going to miraculously pull this off, we need to get a result here against Leeds.
Today is the start of it. I remember that being we it was quite a good result for us, I remember, right?
It was 3-0, and Rafinha scored. Rodrigo scored.
Rodrigo Moreno. Thank you, God, you told me. It was out my brain. Yeah, no, it was a good game. Yeah, but I remember walking back to the car, because we parked at the away and at some side street. That's probably enough. Not enough, but we've got a nice cushion now, and that went all the way to Brentford, which was a day in itself.
Yeah.
But no, so over the years, I've seen that stand to the left of the away end be like nothing to what it is now. So I've seen you slowly build it up. But I'm intrigued to say what you said about the... So what do you think the attendance will be, roughly? Is it going to be relatively low?
I mean, look, we usually, on a good day, we usually get about 18, 19,000. So I reckon maybe sort of between 10 and 12,000.
Okay.
For me, this is where a club, it's a bank holiday. A club needs to go, right, kids, they don't do kids for a quid now, I don't think, but kids are fiver, adults are tenner or whatever. Pack the ground out. I mean, look, it's not a massive game, right? Touch wood, we are safe. There will still be Watford fans out there that think we are in danger because of the run that we've got. But it's a nothing game for us in terms of we don't need to win to stay up. And it's against a team who you boys have undoubtedly probably will have sold out. I would imagine, like every other away team this season, other than Chesterfield, you will have fans that have bought tickets in the home ends because that seems to happen more and more frequently. Mm. So why not try and pack it out? But yeah, I think between 10 and 12,000, it might even struggle to reach 10,000.
Really?
Because it's moved for Sky as well.
Yeah, so the Sky doing their usual Sky Sports thing. We've realised that Leeds fans haven't got a great relationship with Sky. So the two Easter games, there's a 12:30, a 5:30, and an 8, and it follows the same pattern. I think Leicester 12:30, Ipswich 5:30, we're 8 o'clock. Same on Easter Monday. Yeah. So they really are ramping up the television figures now, best they can, trying to ramp up the excitement. But it's, to be fair to Sky, I mean, let's be honest, in terms of the Championship, where we're at the bottom, not so much you boys sort of in middle of the table, but the bottom, there's a race on. Top, there's a race on. I talk to fans all the time who don't necessarily watch Championship or their team, whether their support hasn't been down here, but they're like, Championship's always like this. No, the Championship's never like this. Like this. This is the Championship on crack. This is ridiculous. For four teams to be on the points they're on, it's never happened before.
No.
But all the stats are getting blown up all over the shop. And then the same at the bottom. I've got a good few Chef Wednesday mates, and they were saying that they won five in a row and didn't move. Granted, they're close to that, but they didn't move.
Yeah.
It's just a ridiculous season. Absolutely ridiculous season. And, I don't know if I gave some credit earlier, but all credit to Ipswich. If I'm a betting man, I still think Leicester get over the line top, if I'm honest.
I don't know. I think this sort of cloud hanging over them, if they go up, they are, to put it simply, quite fucked. Whether that will sort of play their mind a little bit, I don't know. So
he's a very interesting character, Maresca, because he said some, I would say it's good one, but he said some very silly stuff before the Leeds game, just unnecessary stuff.
Yeah,
that's one thing the Leeds fans do love about Farke, is he never says anything silly. He was asked today in the presser, does that put Leeds as poor position now for favourites? And they go, no, Leicester got game in hand, they'll see it through. I mean, that's playing the crowd the other way.
Yeah,
but no sound bites. We're not giving them sound bites.
No.
And it was, as soon as we beat Leicester on that Friday night, all them sound bites were just going around Twitter.
Yeah, well, at least you react to them. Look at us. We had an ex assistant manager, now a head of recruitment or whatever, text about our current manager. And if I was in that dressing room, I'd have printed them fucking texts out.
Yeah,
and posted them all around the changing room. And
is that where he got spotted on his phone and someone had taken a picture behind?
Yeah, Dean Austin. So I think he's head of recruitment at Coventry now, but Dean Austin was assistant manager at Watford under Kike Sanchez Flores' first time round, and with Jukanovic when we got promoted. And Troy recently did a 4-hour podcast with one of the other Watford podcasts, and he spoke very highly about Dean Austin. And then lo and behold, a couple of weeks later, he spotted texting Mark Robbins in the crowd about Ishmael and how slow we look. And I mean, it could only happen to Watford, and it just sums up our season at the moment. But we've very almost beaten, but that was the straw that broke the camel's back, and Ismail was gone. So
extra points for knowing who is he was assistant manager to, because the amount of managers you boys have had, that extra point for that.
Right. I know. Well,
you are again on the hunt.
Yeah, exactly. I worry who we get, actually, because, I mean, two of the names, Scott Parker, get in the bin. No, thank you. And then another name.
Whether or not he needs money or not, we were linked with him in the summer, but he does get out of this division.
He does, but you have to give him the best squad available.
That's correct. Yeah, I agree with him on that. And he's very divisive.
He went to Club Bruges, did the square root of. So... but another man, Sean Maloney, the Wigan manager. I mean, where that's come from, I don't know. If his agent's trying to get him a bigger move, I don't know.
Warnock, our work.
Warnock, I love him. I think this is brilliant. The fact that your podcast is called Gone Off on a Tangent, and I have gone off on several tonight. So,
do your best, mate.
Just quickly on Neil Warnock, and I can't remember if I shared this story when we spoke last, but when I was, I think it was the 05-06 season when we got promoted, obviously that year that we both got playoffs, we beat Sheffield United in away, but we lost to them at home, and I think Clark Carlisle got sent off for us, and I think we lost 3-2, and I was mascot. And I would have been only about 10 I think I was 10 years old. And Neil Warnock was manager for Sheffield United. And my parents still to this day say that for all the stick that Warnock gets, he made sure every mascot, even if it was Watford, he made sure all the players stopped what they were doing and signed anything we wanted to and had photos and like was really, really good with all the mascots. So he gets a lot of stick, but he's a top bloke. He really is. So
the only problem is now, like when he managed us, he was doing it from Cornwall. So we got the end of Neil Warnock, and Aberdeen had a very similar experience recently. And it was pretty horrific when he managed us. Pretty low down the line. I mean, it's not Hockaday levels, but it's not much above.
Yeah. No, I remember we beat you 6-1 when Warnock was in charge for you boys. So
we were being at Middlesbrough singing Warnock, make a sub. That's how bad.
Brilliant. That is brilliant. This might be hard to pin down one player, but is there one player that you would say Watford need to look out for from you boys? And any one in particular that's shit out at the moment? I'd imagine it's Somerville because he's scoring
It would have been Rutter or Rutter, but he's had, as I said earlier, he's had a minor surgery, he's had a hernia op, so he's in training, I think. Hopefully, either surprise, he's in the team Friday, happy days, or it'll be saving for Monday. Somerville, I don't think, has scored in six, I don't think, which is a surprising stat, isn't it? Because I'm sure it's that. I could be wrong, I'll be corrected by a Leeds fan, but I'm sure it's. But Nonto's been banging him in really important times. James is banging form. Pirot is likely to drop into the 10, I think, on Friday if Rutter doesn't make it. And then Bamford's there for the tap-ins. But I think that, it's hard to say because Gruever's come back with a knock. Kamara should be there or thereabouts. So whether or not he moves Archie into midfield, if Archie's in midfield, he's the one to watch. But I will be putting £5 on Somerville scoring because he doesn't go men, he doesn't go long.
No, he's doing, seven games, by the way. His last goal was against Swansea.
But Nonto's been banging him in and other people have been banging him in, but he's definitely due on. To answer your question in a rambly way, he is probably the one to watch. With Rutter being out, he is definitely the one to watch. He's a very, very good player. Typical winger. So the one thing he does, I think you talked about this last time with one of your players whose name escapes me, where he cuts inside. But it'll get blue.
Martins, yeah.
He looks to come in off the left, on his right, and curl one in. He's scored so many goals like that. He's got a really good finish, really good temperament. Works hard now. That's been the difference. Farker's instilled that into him now. He gets back, he puts a shift in. Somerville. Why not?
Somerville. Again, this might be a difficult question considering how you boys are doing, but if anywhere on the pitch, where can Watford get joy from? Give us a glimmer of hope, at least.
Left back, if Firpo's there, because he can be got at. 100% he can be got out. if you've got, like I said earlier about Archie, as an amazing season he's had, he has come unstuck a couple of times because he's not a right back. Mm. I'm not going to pin it on him. He's literally just not a right back. And yeah. He's having to do a job over there, get loads of minutes, etc. Really good for him, but he's not a right back. So either flank would be where my money is. And it depends what that midfield looks like. If it's Kamara and Gruev, as I said about their pass completion, that they won two in there. Gruev drops deep, pulls the ball off the back four. But down the flanks, if Firpo plays, he can be got at massively. If Sam Barron plays there, less so. But he's a right-footed left-back. So, but yeah, I would say down the flanks.
Yeah, that's that does give us a glimmer of hope. And,
obviously, set pieces, because that's when we've conceded.
Yeah. You'll see on Friday, welcome to Vicarage Road, a team that hosts a team that doesn't really score from set pieces. I mean, corners, we usually, the last couple of ones we've had George from is Wesley Hoot sort of running near post, flicking on and anyone getting sort of scrambling it in. Free kicks, I mean, Loser was probably our best free kick taker in recent years. Pedro would take them as well, but I didn't really like that. It sort of had Harry Kane taking corner vibes. So yeah, we haven't really scored from I'm trying to think the last time we scored from a free kick. I don't think we've scored from one this season. I might be wrong, but we don't tend to do well at set pieces, so you should be all right there. But in terms of the flanks, that's good to hear. That player that I mentioned in the reverse fixture, Martins, he's not really had a look in since. Obviously, we've got Yasser Asprilla as well. Really, really exciting. Mm. Scored for Colombia last night, I think, against Romania. He's blowing hot and cold at the moment for Watford. Against Birmingham, he'd do something and you'd be like, wow, like how have we got this kid? And then he'd do something again and he'd be like, ah, okay, that's why we've got him. So, yeah, it depends what version of Yasser turns up. Dennis could do absolutely nothing all game and then come up with a goal. That is Dennis at the moment. He's unfit, but he's getting goals. I say he's getting goals. I think he's only got three, but he's sort of scored them all sort of close together. I think you've mentioned injuries that you've got. I saw someone ruled out for the season. I saw
that's Pascal Strout, yeah. So he'd been struggling with a hip injury. It's one of those where they've tried to bring him back and work on it and use other techniques, but in the end, he's had to go for surgery. It's one of those that if they'd taken him for surgery 2 months ago, but they don't want to do it, do they? It's his last option. So he's gone now. So he's out for the season, which has meant Ampadu has gone centre-half. And then it's the international boys. So Nonto's come back with a knock, a hamstring, apparently. Ilya Gruev has come back with a ankle problem, apparently. You get a little bit of smoke and mirror with Fark, so I won't take these as I'm always a little bit, soon they'll be in the team. Rutter's had a hernia up, like I said earlier, a minor one, 10 day out, so whether or not he's fit and raring. But obviously, the minutes that the Welsh boys have played, the Firpo's been off, he's back Thursday morning. But then on the flip side, Somerville, no international football. Dan Jen barely played, he scored in one of the games but didn't play. Bamford obviously hasn't gone away. Didn't get the England call up, which is shocking in my opinion. Melier didn't go away. Oh, goalkeeper, but didn't go away. Barham's obviously way off international. So there should be more than enough for us to feel a brilliant team on Friday. Don't get me wrong, there should be more than enough. It just won't necessarily be. It might be one for us to get through and just get out 3 points.
I saw in the presser as well. I read some of his comments that. Dallas is nearing a return, and I think he thinks Watford is maybe a step too soon, which is a good news because I know he's quite highly liked.
Dallas is miles off, mate. He's miles off. It was a hell of an awful injury that he's received. He'll come back, I think, but I don't think you'll see him put boots on this year. I don't think every time he seems to get back on the grass, it unfortunately for the lad, he breaks down. But he's a club legend. That goal at Man City, which you may have seen in lockdown. The only thing missing from that picture was 3,000 Leeds fans going ballistic around the goal, but still, it stands as a great goal. What I love about Stuart Dallas is he's a real club man. And under Bielsa, he was awesome. But they do obviously, like most clubs, that they're all over the social media now. So when the lads come back in the tunnel, Stuart's always there, always clapping back in. And it's the same, obviously, Liam Cooper's in the squads these days, but Liam Cooper's the same real club man, real experienced. guys. But I can't think of any other injuries. Kamara seems to have come back with a full bill of health. Archie's come back fine, played for two games for the 21s. I think that's about it. But Rutter's potentially the one because everything goes through him.
Yeah.
It took us a while to work out where he was going to play and what sort of play we'd have. But his numbers now are ridiculous. Something like 16 assists. He's ridiculous. Yeah. He doesn't score a lot of goals. That's not what he's there to do. But he's underperforming his XG, I believe. Not that I believe in that nonsense, but he's underperforming it. But his numbers, he's I think 19's the most, I think, assists. And clearly he's got 8 games to get it done.
Yeah, yeah. He's on 6 goals and 16 assists. So
he's an ox. He's strong. So he'll turn you. He's got great feet, wins fouls. But he's just, his through balls are just unbelievable. There was one against you, I think. We had it from deep and whipped over the top.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know, yeah. Trying to forget that, along with the other however many games we played. And then lastly, obviously you're going on Friday. Well, in terms of score prediction, what are you feeling? What are you thinking?
Score first, 2-0.
Okay.
Once he's getting a handball, I think, as I said, I think we've got to be in business on Friday. It is 8 games, business end now. Win the next 8 or 9, whatever it is, we're up. It's as simple as that. No one can take it off us. We're up. So that's just got to be the focus now. Just get in and get the points. We've got a really tough run. Like you said earlier about your run, they're all tough in the Championship, but it is quite a tough run.
Yeah. I mean, it's a start of a double header for us, which I'm starting to worry about. I mean, I'm not going on Friday because Sky moved it, but I'm going to the Baggies on Monday, and I don't think I've ever seen us win at the Baggies, and I know our record there isn't great, but nonetheless, I'll be enjoying myself in the Vine before the match. If anyone's been to the Baggies before, they'll know about the Vine. It's a great boozer in there and Indian restaurant. Paul says on form, Leeds should batter us, but if we show the right attitude, commitment, desire, and have a lot of luck. I like that last bit. Then anything is possible, and the Championship is a place where anyone can beat anyone. Absolutely.
Completely agree. That's
the hope that we're holding on for. I will take your hand off now. I will bite your arm off for the scrappiest 0-0 you've ever seen in your life.
You don't want a scrappy 1-0 from a corner?
Of course I would, but I can't see it happening, to be honest. It's just defensively, I think, worries me. I mean, what's crazy is that we've talked about what on the last few podcasts before, obviously beating Birmingham, we were talking about our form and how dull and gloomy everything is. However, we're the only team in the bottom half that's got a positive goal difference because, yes, we lose a lot, but we rarely get a drubbing. I'm trying to think now. I think our heaviest defeat might even be, someone will probably remind me now, but our heaviest defeat, I think, was the 3-0 against Leeds. I'm sure there might have been another one, but it's quite close games, 1-0s, 2-1s, 3-2, whatever. So
we're certainly capable of doing that, mate, of putting a few past you. If everything clicks, we have got there in the locker, but we've also had very frustrating games. Bristol springs to mind that on a Friday night, and it was actually a really good performance, but we just couldn't put the ball in the back of the net. So we got out with a 1-0. It was a really good result, don't get me wrong. It got us to second, actually. But we just we're just inconsistent because they're so young. It just took Nonto picking the ball up and smashing it in. So we have nights like that. We have nights where it doesn't quite click. I mean, granted, that hasn't really happened since the turn of the year. And we're a very different side now. There's just a lot of question marks after the international break, after the gap. But I think the one thing this season has taught me, especially purely from obviously a Leeds angle, is just to trust Farke a little bit and just let him get on with it and let's see where we are. And people are going to drop points between now and the end of the season. And the Championship is mad. And I've looked at other people's fixtures. You just can't predict anything. It is what it is.
Exactly. Yeah. I think bearing in mind, obviously, like you say, returning from the international break, you had, by the sounds of it, a few go. I think we had maybe 3 go, maybe 4 at a push. And I know you've only conceded in the calendar year from set pieces, but maybe if I'm being as optimistic as I can, Maybe we'll stick one Patrick from open play and be that team to be annoying. But I think I'm going to go with
the team. I'd almost rather it happened and 1-2-1. It's just get off your back, if I'm honest, because it's just stats like that. I mean, some of the stats, I listened to a Leeds podcast on the drive at work earlier, and some of the stats, they're genuinely, we're on for a record-breaking season that may end up with us not getting promoted.
That
in
is
all
great.
The stats columns, because The league this year, the standard has been so high from that top four. Mm. But there's something I remember at the start of the season that the owners had kind of banked on. Nobody has a fast start in the championship. No one's the first five. No one is relentless. And what happened? Leicester won the first five, and it's I think very similar. So we thought we were afforded that slow sort of month and get to grips, get signings in, let the play develop, and then no. It's just been like that all season. It's just been absolutely. In any other season, I think we're near us up.
Yeah.
In any other season.
Absolutely. Completely agree. I think 3-1 to Leeds, to be honest. And I want to get something out of the two games. The West Brom game, I've been to 9 games this season. We've won 8 and drawn 1 of them. So I'm hoping that look continues on Monday, but I'm not looking forward to it.
I don't have great memories of the Baggies either, if I'm honest with you. I think I've seen us draw there. I can't recall us winning there. It's one of those. It's weird they got grounds, isn't it? Like that. They just because we've got the to win the season, we've got QPR, and I've never seen us win at QPR.
Meant
to go get something. I've never literally under the BL. So there was the famous photo of him absolutely slumped in the tunnel. Really? I've ever seen us win there. It's just crazy how you have these grounds. It's because people might be looking at our fixtures and going, "What's he on about?" You've only got Southampton to play in terms of in that thingy. But Leeds have a lot of sides that, like Hull, for instance, rivals, Middlesbrough, rivals. Do you know what I mean? There's a lot of play when it comes to Leeds. There's a lot of people want to beat us and all that sort of stuff. Not because we're who we are or anything. It's just everyone likes to beat dirty Leeds, don't they, apparently? So
Yeah, well, fingers crossed Watford can add to that. And I think you'll struggle to find a Watford fan that's optimistic for this one. And I think we're playing you at the wrong time, and we've sort of kick-started your season, I think, a little bit. I don't know whether that's...
You definitely did. I'll be honest with you, you definitely did. And from that was, especially at home, that's one of our best performances. Yeah. And it all clicked, and I think from memory, Rutter had an unbelievable game, and that was his coming-out party of the season. It was like, oh, okay, get it now. Yeah. He's in it, get it now. That's what we're signed, paid a lot of money for. I get it.
Yeah. Well, we're
there. You're on the travel to Bristol, aren't you? So ignore me.
No, I wasn't.
You got permission to watch.
I last went in the in that season where you beat us 3-0 at home. We lost 1-0 away, and you were crap at home all season. And we turn up and lose 1-0, and then Cisco gets a boot. So, in true Watford fashion. But it's going to be interesting to see what happens this weekend. This Friday, sorry. It's been a while since we've been on TV as well. So it'll be interesting to see that as well. And what Tom Cleverley's got lined up. Like I say, knows the club, gets it. He's had many a good nights at Vicarage Road. So hopefully he can emulate that as a manager as well and continue the good vibes after the 1-0 win at Birmingham. In terms of a review podcast, myself and Ben, I think Ben is going on Friday. So he will be joining me on either Friday straight after the game or Saturday as well. We don't know yet. We'll pop a tweet out. But if you've enjoyed this video, don't forget to hit the like and subscribe button. The details for where you can find Adam's podcast is all in the description as well. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, everything's there. Go and find it and have a listen. In fact, it's Wednesday, so if you're watching this, a new episode drops every Thursday. So it's very good timing. So a new episode will be out for you to enjoy tomorrow. But if you've enjoyed this, leave it a like, and don't forget forget to hit that subscribe button as well. We are ever so slowly creeping towards that 500 mark. I want to get there before the end of the season. We are so close now. But yeah, till next time, come on, you horns. Sports Social Podcast Network.